present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today in Chatham, the historic town on the North Kent coast. Chatham played a pivotal role in the Second Anglo-Dutch War. The government's naval war advisor, Samuel Pepys, wrote on June the 8th, 1667, the Dutch Navy would never dare launch an attack on Chatham Dockyards. A piece of advice only brought into question by the Dutch attack on Chatham Dockyards. On June the 9th. The Isle of Sheppey, the marshy island that rises no more than 18 inches above sea level, was next to be occupied, but the Dutch left after a few days suffering from altitude sickness. In Victorian times, North Kent became a centre of munitions production. On the 2nd of April, 1896, a massive explosion ripped through the gunpowder mill at Faversham. The effects of the blast were so wide that windows were shattered in Southend, chimneys fell down in Hastings, and a large white flag was waved in Calais. At the end of Kent is the Isle of Thanet, home to 28,000-odd people. Now, we're not going to do any of that stereotyping of Thanet people as being a bit slow and backward, because we'll get letters of complaint from the one that can write. The town of Margate is the home of the Seaside Postcard Museum, where visitors can spend half an hour or so surrounded by unamusing relics from the 1950s. So, welcome to my world. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Rob Brydon. And please welcome the lovely lady who's been the team's right hand for many years, our fragrant scorer, the delightful Samantha. Well, the first round is called Famous Last Words. Final utterances of famous dead people are not always recorded. It was believed that we didn't know Albert Einstein's last words because his nurse didn't understand German. However, a note has recently come to light, scribbled by his nurse as she bent close to catch Einstein's final gasp. It reads, Sie stechen auf meiner Linie Sauerstoff, which means you're standing on my oxygen line. Okay, teams, I'd like you to suggest which words would almost certainly result in death or serious injury. Barry, can you start?
Anything to declare, Mr. Bin Laden?
Tim.
Trust me, the audience will love this. It's really funny.
Rob.
Darling, I've decided to give up work and live entirely off my royalties from I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue.
Graham.
I'd better go and get that New Year banner off the roof. I wonder where the mummy bear is. Mr. Blessed, I love the Flash Gordon movie. It's so gay.
The trick with a charging rhino is to stand perfectly still.
I'd better go and get that New Year banner out of the tiger enclosure.
You pass me a hanky. This poor little dog's got foam all over his mouth.
I better just go and get that New Year banner out of the reactor room.
Well, the teams are going to sing for us now in the round called One Song to the Tune of Another.
Now, you'd have to live in some sort of parallel universe completely devoid of both comedic and musical talent to need this explaining. So, teams, let me explain. Singing one song to the tune of another is very much like performing surgery. The skin or tune is cut open to reveal, say, a hip joint or words. The skin or tune is then sewn up again around the new joint or different words. And there you have it. One song to the tune of another. Now, I know what you're thinking, teams. What about the anaesthetist? Who else can properly put you to sleep in a theatre and make you feel sick afterwards? At the piano, Colin Searle. So we'll start with you, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of Lola by the Kinks to the tune of Oh, I Do Like to Be Beside the Seaside.
I met her in a club down in old Soho, where you drink champagne, it tastes just like cherry cola, C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her a name and in a dark brown voice she said Lola, L-O-L-A, Lola. Well, I'm not the world's most physical guy, but when she squeezed me tight, she nearly broke my spine.
So, you know, Barry, I'd like you to sing the words of the Laughing Policeman to the tune of There'll Always Be an England.
I know a fat old policeman. He's always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man. He really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman. He's never known to frown. And everybody says he is the happiest man in town. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. On his feet, he laughs at everybody when he's walking in the street.
Thank you, Barry. Lovely, lovely atmosphere in the audience, a mixture of amusement and genuine concern. That's your turn now, Graham. I'd like you to sing the words of Teenage Kicks to the tune of The Bare Necessities.
Our teenage dreams so hard to beat. Every time she walks down the street, another girl in the neighborhood. Wish she was mine, she looks so good. I wanna hold you tight. Get Teenage Kicks right through the night. I'm gonna call her on the telephone, have her over, cause I'm all alone. I need excitement, oh, I need it bad, and she's the best I've ever had. I wanna hold you tight. Get Teenage Kicks right through the night. I wanna hold you, wanna hold you tight, right through the night. Yeah.
Finally, Rob, I'd like you to sing the words I've got a brand new combine harvester to the tune of, which I haven't got written down here actually, so I don't know which tune it is. Colin.
Islands in the Stream.
Thank you for being so subtle, Colin. It's all right, I don't think anyone noticed. Thank you.
Drove me tractor through your haystack last night. I threw me pitchfork at your dog to keep quiet. Now something's telling me that you're avoiding me. Come on now, darling, you've got something I need, 'cause I got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Come on now, let's get together in perfect harmony. Oh, I've got 20 acres and you've got 43. Now I've got a brand new combine harvester, ooh-ah, and I'll give you the key, ooh-ah. Now I got a brand new combine harvester and I'll give you the key. Come on now, get together in perfect harmony. Oh, I've got 20 acres apart and you got 43.
Rob Brydon there. It's the first for this show, someone who can actually sing. Well, the next game is called Word for Word. It's a word game that involves words in a game. In Word for Word, the teams will be required to utter a series of words which will be real words. We won't be hearing any of these stupid pointless things people say, as the producer asked me to ban them, to which I said, no problemo, capitano. It's not easy to explain the point of Word for Word, as it doesn't seem to have one. So what I suggest you do, teams, is for one side to exchange a series of words which should be totally unconnected, while the opposing team should challenge if they think they've spotted a link between any of these words. Tim and Rob, would you start, please, exchanging your random words now, please?
Cupboard.
Chair.
Plasticine.
View.
Follicle.
Relapse.
Girdle.
Weight.
Oh, yes. Graham has...
I've had a long wait for a girdle.
That's just personal evidence. That's not really admissible.
We
can only take your word for it, and frankly, I don't trust you. Please carry on, Tim and Graham. Tim and
Tim
Rob
and Graham.
And
Tim.
Please carry on, Rob and Tim.
Islands in the street.
Please. Carry on, Rob and Tim.
Pusillanimous.
Brick.
Chrome.
Test.
Procreate.
Table.
Marginal.
Barry.
Marginal table drawn up in by-elections very recently.
Yes.
Yes, I'll give you that. Who said table? Was it...
It was me.
Yeah, so it's just you on your own now, Tim.
Catamaran. Slinky.
Oh, yes.
Graham.
While I was waiting for my girdle, I bought a catamaran called Slinky.
Again, it's another personal anecdote.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's back to you, Tim.
Brill cream. Castanet. Polyunsaturated. Monastery. Kilogram.
You realise we're filming this and we'll show it as part of your obituary.
Kill. Jack.
Barry.
It's the latest in the Kill Bill saga. Kill
yeah,
Jack.
I think I have to give you that. I think it started to make sense. Over to Barry and Graham now.
Us?
Yes.
That was my word.
Oh. Don't encourage it.
That was what?
Hesitation.
That's him.
Yeah. Jack intruded.
And Graham.
I think hesitation counts as repetition.
Yes. Probably does. We're in the wrong game here.
Yes.
All together. Graham and Barry.
Abacus.
Horse.
Plinth.
Barn.
Gusset.
Straw.
Cartilage.
Duck.
Rob.
I once tore a cartilage, which, had I ducked, would never have happened.
Duck was a noun, not a verb in that context.
Well, why didn't you bloody say?
again, this is just a personal story that you've given us.
Aren't they the best stories, Jack?
Well, they often are. They often are. But in this case, we have to have empirical evidence before we can actually take it away from the team that's playing.
Dodge.
Cycle.
Rob.
If I had dodged the cycle...
I actually can permit that because Dodge Cycle did make sense and it conjured an image that...
What is a camper mitt, can I ask? Is that a mitten you wear when you're camping?
It's a mitt that's slightly more colourful than the last one I had. I'm sorry to spoil everyone's fun, but that is the end of that round. Should have explained the gong will go when I run out of Sudoku. Okay, well, the next round is about lists of things that have obscure connections. So teams, as an example, if I were to ask what the connection is between the A2, the A3 and the A4, you might guess they're all major roads named after pieces of paper. And what's more, the A2 is in itself a connection joining London and Dover, which are also connected because they're two English cities which have different names in French. London is called Londres and Dover is called Douvres. And names that are different in other languages are called exonyms, a Greek word which means up yours, QI. Okay. We'll start with you, Barry. And what connects the following? Hamster cuddles, grandma's refrigerator, dog's ear, and baby's bottom.
They're all unsuccessful perfumes.
They're actually all paint colours. Hamster cuddles is a shade of brown, and grandma's refrigerator a shade of yellow, and the other two should be self-explanatory. One for you, Graham. Can you identify what connects the following? Trapdoor, barking, jumping, spitting, and dwarf hunting.
That's a Norfolk pentathlon.
They're actually all types of spider.
Oh.
Tim, connect these, please. Ruddy, large, painted northern mountain.
Oh, yes, I remember her. That was Big Liz from Glossop. You're right, she was ruddy large with an overpainted face and built like a mountain. I loved her. Big Liz.
They're actually all types of tree shrew.
Oh.
Tree shrew. Oh. Your turn, Rob. What connects these? Brownie, camel jockey, frog, pancake face, round eye, Skippy, and orange bastard.
That's Prince Philip addressing the United Nations.
Well, you're very close to the truth, in fact. They are all racial slurs in different parts of the world. That's right. Well, yes. Yes, racial slurs you've never heard of, Chatham, eh? Well, here are some for you, any of you to have a go at. And what connects these? Jack D, Russell Crowe, and Adolf Hitler's half-brother.
They're all known to their friends as Twinkly.
In fact, all worked as waiters at one time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell me what connects these? Ice cream, rain, miners, semen, and some mothers.
That's a good night out in Chatham.
They're all homophones. They sound the same as another word or words but have a different meaning, e.g. ice cream and ice cream, rain and rain, example, and eggs, egg sample. Egg, egg sample.
Did you say you were a waiter once?
Yeah. Yeah, I kept getting the orders wrong.
I just say, can I have a Diet Coke, please?
When they ordered a tree shrew, he brought shoe trees.
Big Brown, Vagrant, Foolish Pleasure, Northern Dancer, Exterminator, and Macbeth.
How I grade my stools.
Probably yes. Right, is it?
I understand exterminator. would you like to explain foolish pleasure? In fact, please don't. In fact, they've all won the famous Kentucky Derby now. Just last one here. Melon-headed, rough-toothed, pygmy, northern and common.
Paul Daniels.
Racial slur.
In fact, they're all types of dolphin. Yes, sir. The next round looks at the art of letter writing. Just recently, David Cameron wrote a stern letter to the president of Ivory Coast. He's refusing to accept he didn't win his country's election, is hanging on to power regardless, and has lost his grip on reality. And now he's started writing letters to African presidents. In this round, each team takes it in turn to improvise the letters sent between two famous figures. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a series of letters from David Cameron to Nick Clegg, and then Tim and Rob, you'll come up with a reply and so on. However, the challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panellist alternating one word at a time. So off you go, Barry and Graham.
Dear
Clegg,
you
are
out
of
order.
Because
I
told
you
in
confidence
that
you
should
shut
the
door
after
you
leave.
So
why
don't
you
do
what
I
tell
you
to?
Yours,
Cameron.
Dear
sir,
if
only
you
could
care
more
for
me,
because
I'm
only
a
little
person
and
so
trying
and
awkward.
I'm
very
sorry
if
I've
upset
you at
this
time,
because
you
are
so
wonderful
to
me
and
have
supported
me
through
thick
and
thick.
When
I
think
of
how
you
look
at
me,
I
shiver.
Love,
Nikki.
Oh, minion. Pull
the
finger
out
of
the
policy,
and
furthermore,
clean
up
my
act.
Education
is
not
primarily
free,
so
we
intend
to
cut
the
grants
to
everybody,
including
you.
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 There.
Cameron.
Dear.
Mr.
Cameron,
if
you
could
let
me
out
of
the
box,
I
might
leave
my
coalition
plans
on
the
top
of
the
bureau.
I
wish
you
loved
me
like
I
love
you.
Dave,
kiss.
Kiss.
Nikki.
Kiss.
Hug.
Kiss.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, they do say that all good things must come to an end, so we'll carry on. So, teams, I'll ask you please to announce the late arrivals at a society ball for dog lovers. Rob, can you start us, please?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Lee and their facially hirsute son, Bearded Col.
Tim.
All the way from Australia,
oh.
Please welcome Jeff. His father was English. His mother was from Iran. Yes, that's right. He's a Pomeranian.
Oh, bless. He's so proud of that one, wasn't he?
It's the
the best thing I've heard for weeks.
Graham.
A warm welcome, if you please, for Mr. and Mrs. Chapoodle and their daughter, Minnie Chapoodle.
Please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Sation and their son, Al.
Hold.
What?
Barry.
All the way from Italy to the Dog Lovers Ball, we say ciao and welcome. Signor, signora, forget the plastic bag when you're taking the dog for a walk. And a lovely daughter, don't forget the plastic bag when you take the dog for a walk.
Will you all please welcome Mr. and Mrs. Russell and their son, Bertrand.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. and Mrs. Lapdog and their unpopular daughter, Shih Tzu.
Closely followed by Mr. and Mrs. Pavement and their unpleasant daughter, Foul Lindy Pavement.
Time for music now, ladies and gentlemen, from the Pointer Sisters, all great-looking bitches.
Welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Zacht and their violent son, Dangerous Doug Zacht.
They've come with their friend, the Prince of Wales. Now, that is a pedigree chum.
Welcome, please, Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, can't you stop your dog humping my leg? And their son, Gordon Bennett, can't you stop your dog humping my leg?
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the vacuum cleaner of time sucks at the rug of destiny and the Bruce Forsyth of fate is relieved he used extra strong fixative, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself, and our audience here in Chatham, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timbrook Taylor, and Rob Brydon have been given silly things to do by Jack Dean, with Colin Sell setting Sullivan to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.